Drive Time on RTE Radio 1. Sponsored by Zurich. For pensions, protection, savings and investments. At Zurich, we deal in peace of mind.
As you'll know, the near decade-long state investigation into the Grace foster home abuse case concluded yesterday. It ultimately found Grace had been neglected and there was a lack of oversight in her care. However, it said it was not satisfied the evidence established she'd been subjected to physical, sexual or emotional abuse. The report has been strongly criticised by opposition politicians and some government backbenchers as well, while Ireland's Special Rapporteur on Child Protection, Caoimhín Gallagher, said key questions she had around Grace's care and disability services in the South East were not adequately addressed by the report. Well, for his reaction to the report, I'm joined now by the Children's Ombudsman, Dr. Niall Muldoon. You're very welcome, Dr. Muldoon, to the programme. Can I get your initial reaction to the Farrelly Commission report, first of all?
I suppose, I mean, the overriding one for me is sadness, you know, sadness and disappointment for the family of Grace. Grace has suffered at the hands of the state and been in state care since she was very, very young, over 20 years. There was a very poignant interview played earlier in Morning Ireland from 2018 where her mother was looking for, what she wanted from the commission was to understand where the problems were and why her child suffered so much at the hands of the state. Mm-hmm. And there's nothing there for them as far as I can see. So I think they must be seriously disappointed and the sadness that must come with that, feeling let down once again.
Are there any outstanding questions for you? Any remaining questions that are not answered in the report?
I think what we have is sort of a confirmation of what we had before, is that we know there was problems there. There's my sense is that the commission seemed to look at a threshold of criminal responsibility, which meant that they didn't go and make decisions or make findings that people expected might happen. I'm not quite sure on that. But from our point of view, I think it's clear that we as a state have let Grace down in numerous different ways, and we need to find answers to that for the future so that this isn't happening again. We don't have a Grace situation now or into the future. And I can't be sure that that's the case.
No, when we're not sure, I suppose, what standard of proof they were looking at or judging the various allegations or findings against. What about the stories or the reports about how witnesses and families were treated by the commission? Does that in any way cause angst for you?
Of course it does. I mean, for me, if we do investigations, we look at trying to get to the bottom of complaints, we're always trying to do it in a way that's respectful. We are curious about what's going on. We want to find out what the answers are. We don't necessarily need to punish or challenge the veracity of what people are saying all the time. And I think what's happened is we've moved into a much more lawyer-led adversarial situation, and that's obviously what happened with these families when they went in. It felt like they were being cross-examined on a criminal case, and that's not the way it should be. If you're trying to get to the answers, you've got to believe what people tell you. And as was said last night, the mother that was challenged and felt intimidated, there was no reason for her to be lying. There's no reason to even ask those questions. But again, it seems to be more a legal defensive ploy to try and prevent lawsuits into the future.
Can I be devil's advocate for just one second on that? What is a commission of inquiry or an investigator to do then in terms of testing the credibility of evidence when the allegations are so serious?
I think what you've got to do is find a situation in which the truth and the learning where the flaws and mistakes were is the crucial part of what any investigation should be about. The allocation of blame will happen at a later stage, but reviews like that need to get the answers. And this happens all over the world. That's why they've created in Canada, they've got the open disclosure in the medical world, where people are acknowledged that they've made mistakes. That's not used against them in a court of law.
But could that be done here?
Of course it can be done.
We
have open disclosure in the medical field already, but it's not been brought to this fullest extent where we can say, we're not going to sue you, even though you've told us that a mistake was made. Because by learning from that mistake, we can learn that this never happens again. And that's the crucial part here. But what we're doing here is defending all the time so that nobody is sued. And then we're not getting to the bottom of the crux of the problem. And we're repeating those mistakes again and again and again.
And the victim is not at the centre of...
Absolutely not.
Can I ask you this? As an ombudsman who's charged with investigating queries or complaints from the public in relation to children in your case, are you any wiser as to who made the decision to leave Grace in the foster home despite allegations of sexual abuse within the home? This is after 13 million at this point spent mm-hmm. on the investigation and nearly a decade spent investigating this. Do you know who made that decision?
There's no clarity in that regard as far as I'm aware, and I think that's very dissatisfying. There's a dissatisfaction with that. It's not satisfactory to be in the situation, but in the absence of that, then we have to look at what are the hierarchy.
And I know. I mean, then if one person isn't to blame, we're all to blame, and so on. But can I just say, but without apportioning any responsibility, because it's so convoluted and complex. Do you think that could have been? I mean, there were questions raised on Morning Ireland, for example, with the HSE Chief Bernard Gloucester as to whether there are notes or files. And he said they would have been made available to the Commission, anything that was there. I mean, should that be noted, the decision-making process and so on?
Of course it should be noted. I mean, that's part of your policy. If you're not following policy, then you're maladministration, and there's a possibility of adverse effects because you haven't followed your policy. But if there are no notes, in the absence of notes, then you look to see, well, okay, if who should that be? Should it be the social worker? Should it be the senior? Who would make that such a decision? Who has the authority to do that? And they would have to explain why the notes wouldn't be there.
Mm-hmm. Given her vulnerability, does the absence of oversight and monitoring from officials, does that mean that her safety, of course it does, was at stake? Does that shock you?
I mean, of course it does. I mean, that's what we've done is we've taken a child into care of the state, which means we are the parents. The state is the parent. And when you bring a child in that situation, you're saying we can do a better job. We can make sure that you are provided with the same care, the same love, the same respect as every child in the state. And when we don't send somebody out to look into that for 6 years, that is horrific. That is just, there is no defence to that. But we find ourselves in situations where, you know, only 4 years ago we had a report called Molly's Report, where a child exactly like Grace, non-verbal, not able to care for herself, was in family foster care, and they were the most loving, caring, wonderful foster families. But for 14 years they had to fight the HSE in Tuscaloosa to get the resources they needed. So we're still not providing what is required at the level of proper parental love and care. The state take the child in and then they hope that the foster parents are going to do the best for them.
So even now, I mean, the Commission, to go back to it for a second, we've discussed some of the findings of the Grace case, but the Commission was set up to investigate the case of Grace and also separate allegations surrounding 47 other foster placements at the same home over the same period. Now, that second phase of investigation into the other cases will not go ahead, we learned yesterday. Do you understand the rationale behind that? Do you accept it?
I can't... From what I've read, again, I haven't gone through the whole report, but from what I've read, it seems to be that because there was no child sexual abuse allegations in that situation. But for me, I think they should be engaged. I think there's an opportunity.
I think there were serious allegations in relation to at least two.
Okay. Yeah. So again, it's for me, the only way forward now is Minister Foley talked about a panel of experts taking learning from this report. I would suggest that those panel of experts listen to these 40 families because there's lessons to be learned. That's what we're trying to do. Those families have stories to tell about that experience, the same experience that Grace had, who's nonverbal. They may be able to shine light on this way, and they would get some form of closure if they've listened to in some way or other. And it's about learning what they went through, acknowledging what they went through, and then making sure this never, ever happens again. And many times have we had to say that, Cormac, over the years. I'm 10 years, and I keep hearing my own voice saying this should never happen again, but it does. The system, the people in the HSE, Tuscaloosa, the government have to start sharing information about children so that we can protect children properly.
Yeah, open disclosure and sharing of information is one way of doing it. Mm-hmm. Do you think genuine accountability would be another way?
Absolutely. Again, it's part and parcel of it. But again, we have to get to the situation where, first and foremost, the system is self-reflective and is protective of our children. The children are at the centre of it, not the staff who may have made a mistake. And we're relying on whistleblowers. Again, this one came to light through a whistleblower. That's not the way a system should work. The system should be self-correcting. It should reflect on itself, should see when mistakes are made and correct itself.
Yeah, but if it weren't for the whistleblower, and I note the interview with the whistleblower in this case, Ian Smith, on the News at One, he said the state will try to crush you. And that was his message to any whistleblower listening. Do you find that chilling?
I think that's very chilling. I think it's a horrible thing to have to hear in the year 2025. And it should be so horrific.
Is it worrying from your point of view as an ombudsman?
Of course, yeah. I mean, what he's saying there is that the system is built around protecting the system. And that's not the way it should be. Particularly for child protection and child care, children should be at the center of these things. And if something goes wrong, which it always will, mistakes are normal. It's part and parcel of everybody's life. But the reality of those mistakes should be highlighted very, very quickly, should be transparent, and they should be fixed quickly. And that's how you put the child at the center.
Okay.
Not worry about whether I'm going to lose my job. It should be a protective of the system, protective of the child, not the system.
Okay. We've discussed briefly the desirability of accountability there. But in your experience, do you think there will be accountability in the Gray's case?
Well, I think that ship has sailed. I don't think that's going to happen. I think we are here now, which means that this is the end of the reporting side of things. But the lessons that can be learned from this, I would be quite happy if this would be money well spent if it's the last time we ever have to put a review together to look at how a child has been harmed in the care of the state. That would be money well spent so that we've fixed the state system from here on in, so that all that happens is mistakes happen, they're acknowledged immediately, the parents and the families are told, and the system is fixed so that it doesn't happen again. So you're not repeating one after the other after the other. Okay. That would be money well spent and a real proper line in the sand.
Okay, the number for your text is 51551. Children's Ombudsman, Dr. Niall Muldoon, thank you very much.